Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Chof Hei Omud Aleph. We begin on the third line from the top with the new Gemara. We had the Mishnah yesterday that started on Chav Dalud Omud Beis that taught us some dinim where Truma is stricter than Kachim. And we start off by telling us, Be Yehuda in Uvgalil lo. We said in the Mishnah that in the Galil, the Amoratsim were not trusted to say that their Kachim were done with Tahara. As opposed to in Yehuda, the Amoratsim were believed to say that their kachim, their wine and their oil, were done in a state of tahara. So how come? Why is that true? Implication of the Mishnah was only be Yehuda in, was that true? But with Galil, it's not true. My time, what's the reason for that? So we'll give two reasons. The first one is from Rish Lakish. On Rish Lakish tells us that Nesha Ritzua Shel Kusim Mafsekes Benam, because there was a strip of land that the Kusim were the people that came from originally from a country called Kuta, and they were resettled by Sancheiriv when his modus operandi, I've mentioned many times, was when he would conquer a country, he would move the native population to a different country so they would have less of a reason to rebel, because even if they were successful, they wouldn't be back in their own country. So therefore, he moved the people that lived originally in a place called Kuta to the Shomron, and they became the Shomronim or the Kusim. And it's unclear whether these people were, in fact, eventually converts to Judaism, or they were not really converts to Judaism. They only, quote, converted to Judaism because of the lions that attacked them. So some of them said, this God of this land wants us to worship him. So they did convert, but it's not clear if they were truly converts or not. In any event, the Kutim, they had a strip of land that was between the Galil and Yehuda where the Beis HaMikdash was. So any Taharos that had to be brought from the Galil had to pass through this land, and the land of the Akum, they had the halachic status of being Akum, of the Kachovim Umazolos, they were not considered full-fledged Yidden, and therefore their land was Metame Midrabanan, anything that came through it. So therefore, in the Galil, even if they claimed that they had prepared their Taharos with appropriate Kachim, Tahara status, nevertheless, when it went through this strip of land that separated the Galil from Yehuda and the Beis HaMikdash, so it would have to go through this land that would become Tomei. And that's Mipnei Shiritzua Shel Kusim Mafsekes Beineihem. And therefore, even if they did in fact keep it with Tahara in the Galil, by the time it got to the Beis HaMikdash, it would not be Tar because it went through this strip of land. So the more questions, well, why couldn't they put it in some sort of a container that would prevent the Tumah from the Eretz Ha'akum, from the land of a non-Yidin, from making it Tomei? The Nesiv, they should go and put these Taharos, the Yayin or the Shemen, inside Beshida, Teva, Umigdol. These are various types of containers. The Shida is translated, according to Rashi and Erevin, as Merkeves Noshim, a device that they would carry women around on. Agola Suya Kikufsa was some sort of a carriage that was like a box, and they would put the women inside of it and carry them around. A teva is like a box or a container of some sort, and a migdal is a chest or a bureau or some sort of a container also that you could put things inside. So the question that the Gemara is asking is, why didn't the people who lived in the Galil, who claimed that they had their wine and their oil in a Tahara state, and therefore it could be used in the Beis HaMikdash, so just like in Yehuda, they believed the Amoratsim, that their Taharos were kosher, so they wouldn't go and make a separate Beis HaMikdash, so too, in the Galil, we should have believed them, and you have the problem with this strip, this Ritzur Shel Kusim, so put it inside one of these containers, the Shita Teva Migdal, and prevent the Tumah of the Eretz Akum, that strip of the Kusim land, from being Matamidah. Shemura says, no, that wouldn't be possible, because according to one opinion, which we'll see is Rebbe's opinion, the Shida, Teva, and Migdol would not work to prevent the Tumah from the Eretz Akum from getting through. According to the Chachamim, it would work, but not according to Rebbe. Hamani, who is the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is Rebbe. And Rebbe holds, Rebbe, he, the Omar, Oel, Zoruk, Lav Shmeol, a portable, a movable type of an Oel, such as the Shida, Teva, or Migdol. So while they are considered a separate entity, and under other circumstances, a oil would prevent the tumor from being transmitted up to it, nevertheless, since he's a portable, it's an ohel zoruk, it's a portable, movable type of an ohel, lav shmei oil, would not function as an oil to prevent the tumor from the Eretz Akum from going right through it and being metame, the oil or the wine that was carried in it. Now, where do we see this? The Tanya, because we have a brisa. And the brisa tells us as follows. This brisa in Mesorah Shas tells us it found in a number of places, a Gittin, Erivin, and Nazir. And it says in this brisa, Nichnas the Eretz Amim, if a person would enter into a non-Yiddish country, he would enter into the Eretz Amim, and he would go inside it in this Ohel Zorik, the Shida Teva Migdol. So Rebbe is Matami. Rebbe says the protection that's provided by the Shida Teva Migdol would not stop the Tumah from the Eretz Akum from going through. In the Eretz Ha'akum, in the Goyish lands, were concerned that they didn't have formal cemeteries. They would just bury people all over the place. They would have miscarriages and they would just bury them, or they would even bury regular people that died without having them in a formal cemetery. That was their custom. And therefore, if you would transfer a person over those dead bodies, Matame via Tumas Ohel. And since this is an Ohel Zoruk, Rebbe holds that this would not work to prevent that tumor from going up and causing the person or the items that were in the Shida Teva Migdol from becoming Tomei. So Rebbe is Mitame, and Rebbe is the author of our Mishnah, therefore. And that's why our Mishnah didn't suggest using a Shida Teva Migdol. As opposed to, the Raisa continues, Rebbe Yossi was the son of Rebbe Yehuda, Mitar. He disagreed with Rebbe, and he said, no, the Shida Teva Migdol, even though it's an old Zoruk, could prevent Tomei from going in. So our Mishnah obviously does not hold like Rebbe Yossi and Rebbe Yehuda, because then they would have suggested that even in the Galil, it would be acceptable to have the Amoratsim bring their wine or their oil and claimed that it was done b'tara because they could put it in a sheet of Teva Migdal and bring it to Yerushalayim in that fashion. Okay, so our Mishnah holds like Rebbe. Mor says, but still, v'laisuah b'chlicheres hamukav tzomit posel. So okay, even if Rebbe doesn't hold that Shida Teva Migdol would prevent the tumor from the Eretz Akum, from the strip, the Ritzuah of the Kusim, from being matami, the oil of the Shemen, put it into a klicheres, into an earthenware utensil that was tightly sealed, what's called mukav tzomit posel. And we had already mentioned previously that an earthenware container doesn't accept tumah from the outside, and if it's sealed in a tight seal, so then the tumah can't get into it under any event. And therefore, let them put the oil or the wine that they made betara, even according to the Amoratsim, we would believe them that they made in the Galil, and let them carry it through the strip, the Ritzuah of the Kusim, in a klicheres, in an earthenware utensil that was tightly sealed, mukaf tzomit pasil. And this way, we also should allow the oil and the wine from the Amoratsim in the Galil to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. So Gemara says, no, that also isn't good, because Amar Rabbi Eliezer says, Shonin, the Chachamim learned in the following Braisa, Ein HaKodesh Nitzol B'Tzomit Pasil. They said specifically that Kodesh is not protected by its Tzomit Pasil. While other things are, Truma, Chulin, Maisusheni, would be protected in a earthenware utensil that was tightly sealed with its Tzomit Pasil, Mekachimana. Where it says, but wait a second, Vatanya. Now that's the girsa that we have, and some do support this girsa as being a brisa. However, the Mesorah Sashah says that it should be v'tatnan, because this is actually a Mishnah, or very close to what is a Mishnah in Paro. In any event, it says over there, Ein chatos nitzelis mitzomit pasul. There it says that the chatos, the mei chatos, would mixed in with the ashes of the paraduma, that's called the chatos, that would not be protected if it came into contact with tumas meis by being in a klicheres that was mukav tzomit pasul, that we have so many extra stringencies in regards to the chatas because of the leniencies that we mentioned we took the other day in being metame the kohen who was sorif the para to take it lotzi liban shel tzukim. So therefore, we have so many extra stringencies, and one of them is that even though a klicheres hamukav tzomit pasul normally protects the inside, even if the insides are kachim or truma or maisasheni and certainly cholin, but it won't work for a chatas. So that Bryce said, Ein chatos nitzelis b'tzomit pasul, but that implies, my love, how kodesh nitzol. Against what we just said from Rabbi Eliezer, that Ein kodesh nitzol b'tzomit pasul, this Mishnah or Bryce from Para seems to suggest that in fact, only a chatos is not protected by an earthenware utensil, klicheres hamukav b'tzomit pasul, but kachimar. So it says, no, that's not what the implication is of this Mishnah in Para. This Mishnah in Parah tells us that Ein Chatas Nitzelis Mitzomit Pasul, that's only the Chatas, that's the waters that are mixed in with the ashes. Lo, Hamayim She'ena Mikudashim Nitzolim Mitzomit Pasul. Only the Chatas itself, the waters mixed with the ashes, that won't be protected by a Klicheres Hamukav Tzomit Pasul. But if you just have the water alone that was collected in the Taharadik way, and you placed it inside a Klicheres Hamukav Tzomit Pasul, that would be protected. Hamayim she'ena mikudoshim, it hasn't yet been mixed with the ashes of the paraduma, they would be protected nitzolin b'tzomit pasul. So therefore, you can't tell me anything about kachim from this mission parah, because it was telling us that the mechatas And only the Nechatas is not going to be protected by Chlicheres and Mukav Tzomim Pasil. But the implication isn't Kodesh that's protected, but the implication is that if it's just the waters that were being used eventually to be put with the ashes of the Paraduma, they would be protected. So you can't tell me anything about the actual Kachim from that Mishnah. Ayi Gemor says, Vamar Ula Chevraya Midakon Begolila. Ula said that in fact the Chaverim would go and prepare appropriately wine and oil in the Galil to be used in the state of Tahara. So how come over here they weren't concerned about the land of the Kutim, the Ritzua of the Kutim, going and ruining that? So how could, okay, you want to tell me the Amoratsim, but what about the Chaverim? The Chaverim also prepared Taharos in the Galil. How did they expect to get them to Yerushalayim? So Gemara tells us a fascinating answer. Manichin, they did this for when the Mashiach would come. They had everything prepared, just like you have institutions today that are building the Kelim for the Beis HaMikdash, because Mashiach should come and bury Yemenu today still. So then the Kelim will be all ready to be used in the Beis HaMikdash. So too, the Chachamim, the Chaverim in the Galil, they said, we want Mashiach to come right now, and Be'ezus Hashem, he will come. We don't want him to have to wait till we prepare wine betara and shemen betara. So they prepared the wine and the oil Bitara in the Galil, the Ritzua shall kusim. No, they meinichin, they had placed it there and left it in the Galil, and Be'ezus Hashem, Meir Yemenu, Kalishiyavu Elio, heralding Moshiach Tzikenu coming, V'yitarena, he will show us, no, this strip of the kusim, you can go through this area here, it doesn't have any tumas meis over there. So that was a rabbinical injunction that the Eretz Ha'akum has tumah because we didn't know any better, and therefore we have to presume that it does have tumah. But when Elio comes and tells us, no, if you cross over here, you pass through this strip over here, you won't come into contact with any tumah, so then the taharas that were prepared in the Galil would be able to be used. So that's why the Chaverim did it. But the regular Amoratsim living in the Galil that wanted to bring their taharos in those days to the Beis HaMikdash, so that was unfortunately not able to be used because it had to cross through the strip, the Ritzua of the Kusim, and it would become Tomei, and therefore the din was only in Yehuda could we use the taharos of the Amoratsim, but not in the Galil because of a technical problem that they couldn't get to Yerushalayim without going through the Ritzua of the Kusim and becoming Tomei. Okay, now we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, "Ubishas hagitos ne'amonim afal atruma." The Mishnah had stated that when we're actually doing the pressing, Rashi points out again to remind us in the last Rashi of the Mishnah, found on the second line over here, that the gitos refers to the wine presses, therefore yayin. At the badin, that refers to the olive presses, that's for shemen. So our Mishnah had said that during the time of the pressing of the wine, and likewise, the Mishnah said about the pressing of the bottom, the pressing of the olives, ne'monin afala truma. So then, not only are they believed for the Kodesh, which they always believed in, so they wouldn't go and make a separate Beis HaMikdash, but during the actual pressing of the grapes into wine and the olives into oil, so then they were believed even for truma in that situation. And that was the chumrah that we had. They're believed all year round for kodshim, but they're only believed during the pressing season for truma. So more questions and says, wait a second, really? Or a mini, but we learned in the following Mishnah in Taharos, the following, Hagomer Zesav, it said that if a person who is an Amoritz is gathering in all of his crop, and at the time that he's gathering it in, he should leave one box, Yeshaya Kupa Achas, that are the olives that definitely have not become tomei, so he doesn't go and do that, and the etnena la'oni kohen, and he gives it to a kohen who's an oni, and that's the only reason why the kohen is allowed to go and take it. We'll explain in a moment why it specifically says an oni kohen, a poor kohen, although some have the girsa la'ene kohen, and that resolves any problems at all, but we'll explain in a moment why B'davka gave it to a poor kohen, and in this situation, this Mishnah in Taharo seems to go against our Mishnah, because our Mishnah said that we believe the Amoratsim around the time of the pressing for both the wine and for the oil, whereas this Mishnah in Taharo says that we didn't believe them and that we wouldn't let them go and do the last box, and therefore Yeshaya Kupa Achas, because we wouldn't believe them, and therefore when you give it to the Kohen in this fashion, this way the Kohen will know for certain that it hasn't yet become Mukhshal Kabal Tumah, and therefore the Kohen can take it and it has no concerns that it is possibly Tomei. So there seems to be a stira between this Mishnah in Taharos and our Mishnah. So Amar Rav Nachman tells us, here's the first teretz, lo kasha, ha b'charfei, ha b'yafle. Rav Nachman tells us it depends. In our Mishnah, where we said that we believe the Amaratzim, it's talking about the Charfei. The Charfei are the earlier maturing crops. So since there still is plenty of people that are pressing olives and grapes at this point in time, so therefore, our Mishnah can tell us that we believe the Amaratzim to say that their olives turned into oil and their grapes turned into wine were done b'tahara. So that's our Mishnah. But the Mishnah in Taharos is talking about Hoba Aflei. The Aflei are the later maturing crops. Now, most people at this point have already done all their pressing. And therefore, in the Mishnah in Taharos, we don't allow them to go and press because it's no longer the Shas, it's no longer the time of the Badim, or of the presses for either the olives or for the wine. It's not the time of the Gitos, it's not the time of the Badim, and therefore, it doesn't fit with our Mishnah that said only during the time of the pressing are you allowed to trust the Amaratzim that they did their Truma Betara. But if it's after that time, i.e. when the Aflei, the later maturing crops of the olives are done, so then those do not have the Kula that our Mishnah allowed, and that's why in Taharos, which is talking about the Aflei, the later maturing crops, they didn't allow it. Amalei Rav Adah Bar Ava Kigon Mai. Rav Adah Bar Ava asked Rav Nachman, what are examples of these late-growing crops? Who does these late-growing crops? So the Gemara seems to suggest that Rav Nachman says to Rav Adah Bar Ava, like your father's house, like your father, he has a lot of crops, and his are late maturing. The Rabbeinu Chananel has it the exact opposite. Amalei, he says, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Adah Bar Ava, kigon mai, kigon oscha, shel beis avicha, kosan shel beis avicha. Rabbeinu Chananu says that it was Rav Adah Bar Ava who gave us an example. What are examples of late growing crops? Or ba'aflei, that would be like in the house of the father of Rav Nachman. They had late growing crops. So either it was Rav Nachman saying it was Rav Adah Bar Ava's father, or it was Rav Adah Bar Ava saying an example of this would be Rav Nachman's father. In any event, that's not critical to our understanding. We reconcile the Mishnah in Taharas with our Mishnah by saying they're talking about two different times. Our Mishnah, which permits the Amaratzim to say they did it, but Tahara, even the Truma, is because that was the pressing season. Whereas the Mishnah in Taharas, which didn't allow it, that's because it was after the pressing season for most people, with only some latecomers, the Aflei crops, that still were pressing, and therefore that's not called Bishas Habadin or Bishas Agitos, and it wasn't allowed. That's Teretz number one, and that's going to be the real final Teretz, because Teretz number two is going to get slugged up. Rav Yosef Amar beGalil Shanu. Teretz number two, Rav Yosef says, is that we're dealing over here with the Galil, and the Amaratzim are entrusted in the Galil with the Tahara of their Truma, even during the Shas Hagitos VaHabadim. Why not? Because our Mishnah said that just like we don't take the Taharos of the people in the Galil, so too, our Mishnah said that we don't accept their Taharas, we also don't accept their Truma. So Rav Yosef learns that the caveat about the Mishnah that it only was talking about Yehuda and not the Galil didn't only go on Kodesh, it also went on Truma. However, Abai doesn't like this Teretz. Abai says his Rebbe, Esi Abai, Abai says to his Rebbe Rav Yosef, Eber HaYarden VaHaGalil HaRein Ki Yehuda. The following Brisa tells us that the Eber HaYarden, the West Bank, and the Galil have the same exact halacha like the people of Yehuda. In other words, the Amaratzim and Yehuda are believed for Truma, so too the Amaratzim in the Galil, and so too the Amaratzim in the Yarden are believed in regards to Truma. Ne'monin al hayayin b'shas hayayin, v'al hashemen b'shas hashemen, which means that during the pressing season, they are believed about the wine, that they press the wine b'tahara, they press the grapes b'tahara to make wine, and that's during the pressing season of the wine. And likewise, in the pressing season of the olives, they're believed to say that they pressed their olives and turned it into olive oil b'tahara. However, they're not believed in the opposite of a low al-hayayin b'shas hashemen. They're not believed about the wine if it's the pressing season for the olives, meaning it's not the pressing season for the grapes, and therefore they're not believed at that point about wine. And likewise, low al-hashemen b'shas hayayin. And during the pressing season for the wine, they're not believed that they say that they press their olives b'tahara. Now, clearly this brisa tells us that during the pressing season of the grapes, that the Amaratzim are believed, whether they're in Yehuda, whether in the Galil, or whether in the Eber HaYarden. That clearly goes against Abaye says, your teretz, Rav Yosef. So Gemara says, Taki, you're right. Ela, machmarta, kidashina meikara. Rav Yosef's teretz is wrong. And the teretz that we gave above, that the difference between the Mishnah and Taharos and the Mishnah by us is the Charfei and the Aflei, the earlier crops, the time when everybody is pressing, and the later crops when only a small amount of people are pressing. So that teretz was a good teretz. Rav Yosef's teretz, that the Galil is different, and that the Mishnah actually was referring to we're not accepting the Galil both for Kodesh and for Truma. That's incorrect. We only didn't accept them for Kodesh, but we did accept them for Truma. But the reason why Taharos is different, the Mishnah in Taharos, is because that's talking about the Afle. But the people in Galil would be accepted, like the price that we brought down, that Nemonen al Yai b'shas Yain, al Shem b'shas Shemen, that's for the Galil, for Eber Yarden, as well as Yehuda. Now we go to the next part of the Mishnah, where we quote, Avru hakitos v'abadim, if the pressing season for the grapes and the pressing season for the olives is passed, and nevertheless, and one of the Amoratsim now brings you wine after the season, so you're not supposed to accept it. Don't take it from him. Let him give it to an Amo or its coin. However, alternatively, what you could do, you could tell the Amoritz, hold on to it, but bring it to me next pressing season, and then I can take it from you then. Because at the next pressing season, I'll believe you. We're allowed to believe you then, and therefore wait till the next pressing season, and you can give me the barrel of wine then. That's what our Mishnah said. Now, they asked Rishashis the following Shiloh, that's great if the Amoritz followed you, but Avar v'kibla, what happens if the Kohen took it from him? He wasn't going to take the chance that maybe the Amoritz is going to wait till the pressing season and give it to somebody else. So the Kohen took it from him. Now, he's not allowed to use it right now. But can the Kohen who took it wait till the next pressing season and say, well, since if he gave it to me now, it would be good, so the fact that I already have it, it also is good, or not? That's the question that the Yesu Rishashis. Avar v'kibla, if the Kohen took it, is he allowed to hold on to it and wait till the next pressing season, and now it becomes, quote, Tohar again, and therefore he can use it? That was the question that he asked the Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah answered him, and he said, Amalahu Tanisua. We learned this already. Where do we learn this? In the following Mishnah. Tanisua, with the Mishnah, as he turned to Chafei Omidbeis, the following Mishnah. And it said in this Mishnah, this Mishnah is from Demai, Chover the Amma Oretz. You have two children of an Amma Oretz. There's an Amma Oretz father who passes away, and he has two children. One of them is a Chover. He's knowledgeable in Tumah and Tara. He practices all the Dinim. And the other one, Nebuch, is an Amma Oretz. He doesn't know the Dinim of Tumah and Tara. So the Chover's son and the Amma Oretz son both inherit their father. Now the father was an Amma Oretz as well. So anything in his possession that could be accepting Tumah, it was Moshe L'Kabal Tumah. You have to assume that the Amma Oretz father touched it, and it's Tumah. So the Chavar doesn't want to inherit anything that's Tameh. The Amoritz, well, it's just as Tameh for him. He thinks his father kept it in Tahara. Amoratzim think that they're doing nothing wrong. They just don't know the Dinim. So the Amoritz has no problem inheriting his father, the Amoritz, things that are Tameh according to the Chavar. So what do they do with this inheritance now from the Amoritz father? So Chavar the Amoritz, Yarshua Saviyam Amoritz. So you have these two children, one a Chavar, one a Amoritz, and they're inheriting the father who's an Amoritz. So the Chavar would like to get the produce that he's inheriting from his father that's not Tummy, it never was Moshe L'Kabal Tumah, and let the Amoritz inherit the stuff that could be Tummy, because he doesn't care. So what can the Chavar do? In this situation, he can tell his brother, the Amoritz, listen, the Chavar can tell the Amoritz brother, listen, you take we'll split it 50-50. But through the principle of Brera, retroactive determination, that would allow me to take this as the inheritance of our father, and you take that as the inheritance of our father, it's as if dad had given you that 50% and me this 50%, and since you don't have a preference one versus the other, so let's say I'll take the wheat that's in Tel Aviv and you take the wheat that's in Haifa. The wheat in Tel Aviv had never become Moshe L'Kabal Tumah, and therefore the Chavar is allowed to take it and assume that it's tar. And the wheat that was in Haifa, that had become Moshe L'Kabal Tumah. You have to assume the Amoritz touched it, the Amoritz father touched it, and therefore it's Tameh. And therefore, this Chavar says to his brother, the Amoritz, I'll take the wheat over here. Now, the reason he's saying so is because that wheat is tar. And you take the other wheat, which you think is tar anyway, but an Amoritz's opinion doesn't count over here, and therefore you can have the wheat that is Tameh. Therefore, let's do it that way. Now, this works as long as it's both wheat. Likewise, he could say, the Chavar could say to his brother, you take the wine that's in Tel Aviv, which is potentially Tameh, and I'll take the wine, in Haifa, which is not Tameh. So therefore, when you're dealing with both of them being wheat, or both of them being wine, you can make such a split, because through the principle of Brera, the father did intend to give one 50% of the wine and the other 50% of the wine, one 50% of the wheat and the other 50% of the wheat. So you're not exchanging. The Amma Aretz is not being given the share from the Chavar. This is what he got from his father. The problem is, if it was something of a different nature as we'll see, as the Mishnah continues, it says, Avolo Yomar Lo, the Chavar is not allowed to tell his brother, the Amoritz, you take Tola Tolach, you take the liquids, which are, of course, Mukhshar L'Kavo Tumma, and the Avish, and I'll take the dry produce, a different produce than the liquids, so you take all the wine, and I'll take all the wheat, that you can't do. Tola Tochitim, and Anisorim, well, you take the wheat, and I'll take the barley, that you can't do. Why not? Because in this situation, the Chaver and the Amoritz each inherited 50% of all of the Lach and 50% of all of the Yavish. Now, if you're going to go and exchange the Yavish and the Lach, the Amoritz is getting it from the Chaver. Now, the Chaver is not allowed to go and sell to an Amoritz something that is Tomei, because the Amoritz is going to eat it. So if it's retroactively determined that that's what the father did because it was all wheat, it was all wine, then you can say that the Chaver had nothing to do with it. But if there were two different items, so now he's exchanging his half of the lach and giving it to the Amoritz to get the Amoritz's half of the Yavesh. So now the Chavar is giving to the Amoritz something that is Tomei, and that he can't do it. So now we get to what this is doing over here. Why is this Mishnah from Demai being brought over here? It was to answer the question that they asked Rav Sheshis, are you allowed to go and have the Kohen accept the Truma that he was given in the non-pressy season and just hold on to it till the pressy season? So now we see the answer to that question from Rav Sheshis. The Tani Allah, Rav Sheshis said about this Braisa, Oso Chaver Soref Halach Uminiach Ziyabesh. So he has to go and burn his half of the Lach because he can't go and exchange it with the Amoritz brother and take his half of the Yabesh. But Uminiach Ziyabesh, but he gets to keep the Yabesh, his half of the Yabesh. But he has to go burn the half of the Lach. Now, Amai, why does he have to burn it? If, in fact, if the Kohen were to take Truma when it's not in the pressing season and be allowed to hold on to it till the pressing season, so then that's exactly what the Chavar should have done now. Instead of burning the Lach, he should have waited till the pressing season. Yanichena legasa ba, wait till the next pressing season comes. And now, oh, it's suddenly tar. You don't have to be concerned about this rabbinical tumah that the rabbis put upon it. Now, again, if you know it's tummy, then it's tummy. That's not a question. Here, it's just a theoretical tumah that we give to an Am Aretz because they're not careful in the dinim. But if we accept it during the gat, so what he should have done is save it until the gat. From the fact that he wasn't allowed to save it till the gas, till the pressing. Therefore, it must be that you're not allowed to go and save it. So therefore, the question that they ask of Sheshis is, can the Kohen accept the tumah now? If he'd accept, he shouldn't accept it. But if he did accept it now, can he just hold on to it till the pressing season? So that answer is no. From this Mishnah and Demai, the answer would be no. The Gemara says, maybe not. Bidover Shein Lo Gas. Maybe we're dealing over here in this inheritance with something that did not have a gas to it. It's only the wine or the oil. But let's say it's something that doesn't have a pressing season. So then nobody says that you're allowed to hold on to it for any period of time. It's only the special pressing season heter, and that's only for wine and oil. But for something else, for example, Rashi tells us in the Dibur Masa, B'dov Shein Gas, he goes, Sheikhar Tmarim, like date beer, Shel Truma, that was made of Truma. It doesn't have a pressing season. By Sorev, Loshun Ibnu, and you have to go and get rid of it. Doesn't mean you literally have to burn it, it means you just have to get rid of it. So therefore, it's talking about something, B'dov Shein Gas, and therefore, you don't have a Raya Rav Sheshis from this Mishnah in Demai. Mar says, okay, B'yanichen L'Regel, but let him leave it till the Regel anyway. And therefore, when the regal comes, we believe them, even if it's not the pressing season, but we believe them during the regal, and therefore, why not say that the Chavar's son should leave it till the regal, and then, during the regal, even the Truma of an Amoritz is good at that point in time. As Rashi says, Shetumas Amoritz ain't of a regal, v'im karena. So, what he could do at that point is take it, it's no longer considered tummy. Again, you don't know that it's tummy, it's just a rabbinical severity, an additional restriction that we put upon the Amoritz because they're not careful. But that additional restriction, that additional gezeira, did not take effect during the regel. So therefore, let the Chavar's son keep it till the regel. So again, the Gemara says, no raya, because we're dealing with a davar she'eino mishtamel l'regel. We're dealing with something that won't last till the regel. So let's say this inheritance occurred a day after Shavuos. So now you got 5 months till Sukkot comes. And therefore, it's not going to be able to be eaten. It won't last till that point in time, and therefore he has no choice, but he has to be soref halach. He has to go and burn it to get rid of it. And it's not a raya, however, that in the case of the truma given to the Kohen, that he couldn't leave it till the press. That is able to last till the pressing season, and therefore we don't have an answer to the question that was asked to Rav Sheshis, and we're left with Iboya de lo ifshita lei. It wasn't answered. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, V'im Omar, If the Amoret said to the Chaver, Hifrashti l'socha revias kodesh, if he said about this truma, that in addition to the truma being in there, there's also some kodesh, there's a revias of kodesh in there, let's say we're dealing with oil, so then there's also a revias of kodesh in there, so then, since he's believed for the kodesh, as we said, the Amoratzim are believed all year round for their wine and their oil, so since you have in this truma container, you also have kodesh, so since he's believed for the kodesh, neman as well for the truma. That's what we said in our Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, Tanan Hossam, we learned in another Mishnah, this Mishnah is in Olos. It said over there that Modin Beis Shammai u'Beis Hillel, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree. She'bot kin liyosei Pesach, v'in bot kin liyosei Trumah. Now what are we talking about over here? We're talking about a Beis HaPras. A Beis HaPras is a certain type of a field that a dead person was buried in, and then the field was plowed over. That's one of the three definitions of a Beis HaPras. That's the one that we're dealing with over here. Now what's the concern? The concern is that when you plowed the field, you may have a bone that is present in a size that it could still transmit tumma via maga, by touching it, or masa, by moving it. It's too small to transmit via ohel. So therefore, there is no concern that these bones are buried deep in the ground, because when you plowed the ground, you would have picked up any bones. But there may still be little pieces of bone around that if you move them or you touch them, they would be metame the person. So the Mishnah in Olos is dealing with a person going up to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. Now, this is a chiyuv for a person to do so. If he doesn't do so, he's chayiv kares. If somebody doesn't bring the Korban Pesach and he was able to do so, he wasn't tameh, there was a Beis HaMikdash around, there was no reason for him not to be able to go, he wasn't sick, he wasn't living far away. If such a person doesn't go bring his Korban Pesach, he's going to be chayiv kares. So, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that you could go through this Beis HaPras. We'll see in a moment two possible ways that you can physically do this without coming into contact, either b'mag or b'masa, with any pieces of bone that might be there. So both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that you can check this out. You can be bodkin, we'll see, it means blowing a bellows there to move any of the dirt that's in your way, and making sure that any pieces of bone that were there, you would see them, or they would be moved, and you wouldn't end up touching them, or moving them. So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say you can be bodkin, this Beis HaPras, but that's only la'osei Pesach, for a person bringing his Korban Pesach. He's on his way up to Yerushalayim to bring his Korban Pesach. So he can go through the Beis HaPras in this bodkin fashion. However, if somebody has truma with them, they can't go through this Beis HaPras using this bodkin method. And if they do go through this, so their tameh, potentially, tumas shiva of maga or masa for touching a maze, and they have to wait 7 days. They have to have azor shlishi or shvi, third and seventh day, then they go to the mikvah, then they have harishemesh, and then they can eat the truma. So we allow this bodkin process only for the people who are coming to bring the Korban Pesach, but not for people, kohanim, that want to eat truma. More or less, what exactly is this bodkin, my bodkin? So I'm Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel tells us, minafeyach odam beis hapras viholech. A person takes some sort of a bellows, a blowing implement, and he blows the area in front of him. We would take a leaf blower, for example, and you take the leaf blower and you blow it in front of you on the dirt in the ground in front of you, and any little pieces of bone that were there will be blown away, and you didn't touch it, you didn't move it directly, and therefore, it would be permissible then for the person going to bring the Korban Pesach to walk through this area and not be metame with mago maso on any little bone fragments that were there. And as we already pointed out, if there was any bone that was there and that was deeply buried, he would be passing over it. We're not concerned about that because the field was plowed, and there's no likelihood that any bones are there because you plowed the field. So that's teretz number one. That's what bodkin means. Teretz number two, Rechia bar Abba said, Mishmei de Ula, in the name of Ula, Amar, he said that this Beis HaPras, Shenidash, this is a Beis HaPras that had many people trampling it, walking through it. So therefore, there's no way that any bones are left intact to the size that could be metame with Magra Masa, therefore, Tahar. So either you did the Bodkin method of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, or it's talking about a very well stamped upon field, a Beis HaPras, Shenidash, and Rav Chiya Bar Abba, in the name of Ula, said that that's why it's Tahar. So one of these two reasons was how you would do the Bodkin to make sure that you weren't metame with Mago Masa when you went through this. But we only allow this for people bringing the Korban Pesach. We don't allow them to do this for Truma. Now, the Gemara says, La'osei Pesach, lo emidu divrein b'mokum koreis. The rabbis took away the restriction of not allowing somebody to walk through a Beis HaPras as long as you were bodekit in one of the two fashions that we mentioned, because if you didn't bring your Korban Pesach, you're chayv koreis. So that's a biggie. So the rabbi said it's better for us to limit our restriction and allow you to be bodek, and therefore you could go through the Beis HaPras rather than taking the chances of not bringing the Korban Pesach, and then you're over Koris. As opposed to lochle truma, to have a kohen eat truma, so wait, eat it 7 days later. If you have to go through this mesa process, you'll become tameh midrabbanon, and you'll have hazor shlishi shvi, you'll go to the mikvah, you'll have erev shemesh, and then gizun day, eat the truma. So there's an alternative. You can't push off the korban pesach, but you can push off the eating of truma. And therefore, lochle truma, midu devrein b'makom misa. If you were to go and eat truma while you were tameh, and there's a possibility that you would be tummy in this situation by walking through the base of pras, so Rabbi said, no, we're keeping our gzeira over here, wait till you become tar, and only then eat the truma. So, in regards to the Korban Pesach, they didn't want to keep their decree because it could lead to kares. And in regards to truma, they bedavka wanted to leave the decree because it could lead to misa b'dei shemayim if a person were to go and eat truma while they were tummy. They asked the following shayla in the base medrash, Yibaylu, bodak lepischo. So the person went through the base of pras. He was going to bring his Korban Pesach, and he was either bodkin with the bellows, or he checked it out, and it was a base of pras shenidash, so therefore he could go bring his Korban Pesach and go through that area without becoming tameh. No, if he wants to also carry truma with him, mahu shiyocha b'truma, so we're dealing with a kohen, he has his truma there, so can he also eat the truma? Do we say, mimarashach, we're letting him bring the Korban Pesach, so he can also eat the truma, or we say, no, Korban Pesach is different, truma is different. So this is a machlokis, that's what the answer is. Ula Omar, Badak Lepischo, Mutu Lecho B'Chumasso. Since we're allowing him to go bring the Korban Pesach, it's possible to say that he's tar in regards to the Korban Pesach, but he's tameh in regards to the Truma. So Ula says, no, if you're allowing him to go through to bring the Korban Pesach, he's not tameh with Ma'agol Masa on the field of the Beis HaPras, because he was bodik it in one of the two acceptable ways, so the Korban Pesach is fine, so the Truma is fine as well. His son, however, Rabba Barula Omar, no. Rabba Barula says, only for the Pesach is it good. But the Pesach, if you check for the Pesach, so the Pesach is fine. However, also lechol b'truma, but he can't eat the truma. Amalu Asaba, an elderly man came along and said, now, sometimes this is Elio, sometimes it just means an elderly Talmud Chacham. And he said to Rabba Barula, don't argue with your father. Lo tiflog ale di ula. You're making a mistake by arguing with Ula. Don't argue with Ula. Why? Because our Mishnah is in accord with his opinion. Tithnan, because we learned in our Mishnah, Kavasi, just like Ula had said. What did we learn in our Mishnah? Our Mishnah had said, V'im Omar, Hifrashti L'socha, Revi'iz Kodesh. If the Amorit said, in addition to the Truma that's there, I also put in Kodesh, Neman, he's believed. If he's believed for the Kodesh, then by default, he's also believed for the Truma, even though on the Truma alone, he wouldn't be normally believed. Oh, Alma, what do we see? Midimeheman akodesh. Since we believe him in our Mishnah in regards to the Kodesh, so then Meheman, Nami Truma. So then the Truma that's mixed in there gets carried along as well, and we believe him for that too. So too, that's what Ula said over here. Hochanami, Midimeheman apesach. Since we believe him in regards to Korban Pesach, it doesn't literally mean believe him, but since Halacha Lamaisa, we accept that he's not Tommy in regards to the Korban Pesach, so too, Meheman, we accept that as well. Nami atruma, for any truma that he brings along with him. So this Ha'usaba, this old Talmud Chacham, or Eliyahu HaNavi, whoever this was, said to Rabba Barula, your father is right, based upon our Mishnah. We continue the Gemara by quoting our Mishnah again, Kadayayim v'kadishem v'chule, in regards to the barrels or jugs of wine and the jugs of oil. And the v'chule here says, Hamedumos, that were mixed together, which we translated when we did the Mishnah as it being a mixture of truma and Chulin and Kodesh. So it's a mixture of all of them. So we had said in the Mishnah, we believe them during the time of the pressing season. That's what we learned in our Mishnah. Gemara continues and says, Tana, we learned in the following Braisa, however, even though we believe them in our Mishnah in regards to the Kadayai and the Kadishemen, but we don't believe them in regards to the Kankanim, the jugs, which is the same thing as the Kadim, nor do we believe them in regards to Chuma. So the Gemara says, wait a second. The Truma, we understand. By Kodesh, we believe them. By Truma, we don't believe them. That's not a stira. But what is this Kankanim that you're talking about? Kankanim de Mai. I Kankanim de Kodesh. If you're telling me over here that we don't believe them about the Kankanim, and you're dealing with Kankanim of Kodesh, so then, wait a second. Migo de Mehemana Kodesh. Mehemana Namiya Kankanim. How can you believe them for the Kodesh and not for the Kankanim? If the Kodesh inside of them is good, so the Kankanim have to be good. It doesn't make any sense to say otherwise. Oh, what must it be? Ela kankanim de truma. Oh, we don't believe him in regards to the kankanim of truma. That's pshit, obviously. We don't believe him on the truma, so why would we believe him on the kankanim? Hashta truma lo mehemim, a kankanim mehemim. We don't believe him about the truma, but we believe him about the jugs. So that can't be right. So again, we don't understand this brisa. It can't be talking about the kakanim of Kodesh because we believe about the Kodesh, so we should believe about the kakanim. And it can't be talking about the kakanim of Truma because we don't believe about the Truma, so therefore we don't believe about the kakanim of the Truma. So what exactly is this brisa telling us? Shmuel says, you're right. Ella, this brisa that said, ein nemonim lo akakanim lo ala Truma, it's talking about Ella bereikanim, the Kodesh. It's talking about those Kodesh kankanim after you emptied out of them the wine or the oil. So while the wine and the oil are in them, since we believe you about the Kodesh wine and oil, so we believe you about the kankanim to say that they're tar. But as soon as you go and empty out the oil and the wine from these kankanim, so now the empty containers, the empty kankanim that previously had the oil and the wine of Kodesh are no longer considered tar. Under what circumstances? Or b'shayim osa shana. It's talking about the rest of the year. When we do believe them all year long about the oil and the wine, but that's only when the oil and the wine are inside the kankana that we believe them. But as soon as you empty out the oil and the wine, b'shayim osa shana, we don't believe them about the empty vessels. And likewise with the truma, or b'malein the truma, or b'shah sagitos. The only thing that we believe them on is the truma during the pressing season. But we actually don't believe them about the kankanim during that time. It seems to be a stira. How could you possibly believe them about the truma, but not about the kankanim? But no, that's something that we do find by truma. As Rashi brings down in Dibra Maskul Bebleyin, the truma b'shasagitos, sha'afa b'shalo gozu al trumasim b'shasagitos, even though we are allowing them to be believed about their truma during the pressing season. Why? B'pnei hefzit kohanim chaveirim. The nimzis mafsidon meirov trumas eretz Yisrael. Because otherwise, the kohanim wouldn't be able to get, most people were amaratzim, the kohanim wouldn't be able to survive, the chaveirim kohanim wouldn't be able to get any produce because most of people were amaratzim. However, al hakankanim loheminim, we didn't say that they could take the jugs that they put the truma oil or wine into. So they would take the truma oil or wine, but they would pour it into their own containers. And don't think that this is so strange. Don't be surprised that they could say that the truma is okay, but the kankanim are not. Shari login tvein tumas shiva umashti torah. Because we'll see in the upcoming Gemara that the insides, the mashki that were inside them were tar, but the containers, we had too much shiva. So we'll see that in an upcoming Gemara in tomorrow's shir. Bottom line is that this brisa is to be understood when it says, Einin oam lo akankanim, lo ala truma, so you don't believe them about the kankanim of Kodesh when the oil and the wine have been poured out. So even though the rest of the year we believe them about the oil and the wine, but it's only the kankanim are believed while the oil and the wine are in them for Kodesh. But as soon as the oil and wine are poured out, then we don't believe them about those kankanim. And the truma itself, we only believe the amaratzim during the pressing season, but we only believe them on the truma and not on the jugs in that situation. And that's how you understand this brisa. Now the Gemara continues and says, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, the kadayayin, the kadishemen, hamidumos. As I pointed out, this we had said was a mixture of both the Kodesh, the Truma, and the Chulin. But the Gemara now wants to say, my lav midumos. What does the word midumos mean? It means the Truma. So it seems that we do believe them when it's a mixture of Truma and Chulin. That's normally what dumos means. It's a lashon that we use for a mixture that contains. You put in Truma into Chulin, so that's called miduma. It's all intermixed. And if you don't have 100 against it, so then you treat the whole thing as Truma. So our Mishnah seems to say that we do believe them, but kadayayin the kadeshemen. So how can you tell me that we don't believe them? The actual kadayayin and kadeshemen are believed. So Amidir Ruchia, so in the Beis Medrash Ruchia, they said, no, midumos doesn't mean truma here. It means midumos, the kodesh. It's kodesh that's mixed in with truma and chulin. So therefore, this lashon of miduma is referring to kodesh. Oh, kodesh, we said we believe them about the jugs, as long as the oil and the wine are inside of them. More questions. It's really umi called dimua the kodesh. We use this terminology dimua in regards to kodesh. It's normally used for meduma, is referring to truma that's mixed in with chulin. Shmuel says, yes, we do. I'm the very Rabbi Eloi. In the Beis Medrash Rabbi Eloi, they learned the metaris tivlo li tomi menu nesochim. We're dealing over here is a person has tevel, which is a mixture of truma and chulin that hasn't yet been separated, and he's going to take from there his nesochim, which are his oil libations or his wine libations that he's going to bring up to the Beis HaMikdash. So this is really tevel that's mixed in with kachim, and therefore this is also a proper lashon to call this meduma. Finally, we conclude the last little piece over here. The Mishnah said, kodim lakito shivim yom. We said that They're also believed during the 7-day period before the pressing season that everything is done b'tahara. How come? Amar Abaye, Shema Amino. We see from here, Dina Hu, it's a halacha, the ilave arisa lemitrach agulfe shivim yom mikame me'atzarta. That we see from here, a halacha, it's not clear that this is really a halacha, just good advice, that is incumbent upon the aris that he should go and trouble himself lemitrach for the gulfe, that's the utensils, that he should do this 70 days before the actual pressing to start making sure that they're all tar. So you don't go and put the wine into these tomei containers. He has the responsibility. It's incumbent upon the aris, the sharecropper, to go and make sure that the kalim are all ready to accept betara, the wine or the oil that you're going to put into them. So that's what Abaye infers from our Mishnah. Now, we could start the next Mishnah now, but the last daf Chazayin, is actually a very short daf, so this is a good break point. We'll leave the next Mishnah ready for tomorrow, and Be'ezus Hashem, we just have two more dafim to this beautiful Masechta of Chagiga, and that concludes the beautiful, beautiful Seder Moed. Be'ezus Hashem, we look forward to starting Yevamos with the start of Noshim in 3 days. With this, we conclude today's Shir.